You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. I'd like to tell you about a lady called Florence. She was 41 years old, living in New York City in 1912, and she'd built herself a life as an illustrator. Her pen and ink drawings had appeared in magazines like Harper's and in really popular novels. She was spoken of by a contemporary critic, and he wrote of her work that it had a sincerity and a directness that set her apart from every other illustrator that was working at the time. She had a way of putting down exactly what she knew with a frankness in her style that was entirely her own. She had a studio home in Greenwich Village. She was married. She had a great social life, a great creative life, and her identity was formed and moulded from all she had built through years of genuine hard work and the talent that she had. And then her husband, Everett, decided he wanted a divorce. This is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and on the show this week, we're spending some time with an extraordinary woman. Her name is Florence Scovel Shinn, and she became one of the most influential metaphysical teachers of the 20th century. And her first book, The Game of Life and How to Play It, has never been out of print in the 100 years since she wrote it. Here is the heart then of what we're exploring on the show today. When the ground that holds up your life unexpectedly falls away, just don't give up. Your most significant work may well be waiting on the other side of what feels like your most significant loss. So let's wind back the clock to just over 100 years ago, it's 1912, and let's look at some of the more practical realities of what her husband Everett's decision meant for Florence. The studio at 112 Waverley Place, that was Everett's, and the theatre was also Everett's, and the social world they were in was also Everett's, and Florence had no independent bank account in a meaningful sense. I mean, she had no right to one in the early 1920s. She had no right to vote. And if I'm honest, divorce in 1912 carried a real social stigma that was, well, it's almost impossible to imagine from where we are today. There are real-world accounts from women of the time who had divorced in that era, and they described being shunned and shamed so completely that even other women in their neighbourhood would cross the street rather than be seen passing them on the pavement. You were no longer a decent woman if you had been through a divorce. As though the end of a marriage, even one that you had not chosen to end, made a woman somehow less respectable by association. So Florence, she was 41. She didn't have a right to vote, she had no independent bank account, and social disgrace was attached to her and her name, whether she chose it to be or not. And her home and her working life had been inseparable from a marriage that was now completely over. Everett was a man with, how can I put it, in the readings that I have over what actually happened in the time, Everett was described as a man with changeable affections, a polite way, I suppose, of saying that he was someone that would move on if he wanted to. I think he was married a number of times after he was married to Florence. So Florence in 1912, well, all that was available to her really was the reality of a life that had shifted entirely under her feet, and a world that offered women in her position almost no safety nets and protections from financial, legal, or even social challenges. And there was nothing really available to her that would make it easier for her to navigate what now came next. Even if she had expected the divorce, which I'm not sure she did, she now found herself standing at a crossroads that nothing and nobody was able to prepare for her. So here she is in one of those life-changing moments. You look up and you realise that the ground you were standing on has gone, and the path that you thought you were on no longer exists for you, and nobody gave you a map for this particular territory to navigate. So what do? How do you respond? Have you been in this situation? Where do you even choose to begin? Well, Florence had to find her answer, and what she found in the years that followed, they became the foundation of a body of work that influenced the likes of Louise Hay and that shaped the landscape of personal transformational writing, and that is still being read and changing the lives of people all over the world more than 100 years later. Florence's core philosophy is that whatever you send out into the world, through your thoughts, through your words, through your actions, through your beliefs, will inevitably return to you. It's like an energetic boomerang that will come back. So if you project a boomerang of fear or worry or negativity, you inevitably manifest a boomerang that brings those negative outcomes back. And conversely, by changing your internal state to the most positive version you can create of that boomerang, you can completely transform your external reality into all good things. So Florence believed that to win the game, you had to give out the energy of love or the service that you wish to receive. So whatever it is that you wanted, send that boomerang out. If it's a loving boomerang, send a love boomerang. If it's service, if you need help, send out a service boomerang. If you hoard, if you act out of any kind of fear, that creates that lack of flow. And fearless action opens you up to abundance, whereas action in fear opens you up to depletion. And the book places massive emphasis on affirmations. I immediately think of Louise Hay when I say that. We know our words hold creative power. They have a vibration that's associated with them. If you think of the word love, there is a vibration of love. If you think of the word hate, there is a vibration for hate too. Now, Florence, she advises in her book that if you can replace your worried language, if you can replace your negative language with something that's positive, with deliberate statements that claim the divine guidance you're looking for, or you have an expectation of a successful and prosperous outcome, well, it reprograms the subconscious mind, it changes the energy field. And I have to say, I absolutely agree. Now, my favourite all-time affirmation The one that I think is, for me anyway, the most powerful affirmation in the world for manifestation is, what I seek now seeks me. All you need to do is sit in the knowledge that whatever it is that you're striving for, whatever it is that you're dreaming of, that that thing or those things are already seeking you out. All you need to do is be in receipt of them, to wait with open arms and gratefully guide it home. Now, because anxiety and force block the natural flow of good things, Florence felt that true faith requires just let go, letting go of control, okay? Trusting in the universe, acting with an expectancy of the empowered good rather than disempowering bad. I always say to my clients, look, if this is what you want, have unshakable faith that it is yours, right? Not that it is going to be yours. Goddard's law of assumption states that we should always assume that we're living in whatever it is that we are dreaming of, that whatever we are attracting, and therefore have the unshakable faith that whatever it is that you are seeking has found you. I think ultimately I'd say it's for you to seek out and then really follow your specific, your perfect path in life. And Florence talked about this a lot too. So she would say that playing the game of life correctly involves getting out of your own way. I think we could all do with a bit of that. She said, forgive others, forgive yourself, and be open to divine intuition rather than forcing outcomes. After all, those outcomes might not be what's actually meant for you or in your best interests.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Amanda Nelson, and we've been time travelling today. We've been in the 1900s, 1912 actually, with Florence Scovel Shinn. She's 41. Recently divorced, in a world with almost no infrastructure for an independent woman, and she found herself at a crossroads that nobody and nothing had really prepared her for. 13 years then, let's move forward 13 years. In those 13 years, she emerged, and she emerged with an unshakable faith in a belief system that changed everything for her. I always say to my clients, in order for you to manifest fully and amply, you must have an unshakable faith that despite any and all evidence to the contrary, that the thing which you wish to arrive is already here. Florence wrote what she had learned and lived in her book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. And then, of course, she had to self-publish it because no publisher would take it. She backed herself entirely when the world around her simply wouldn't. The book has never, ever been out of print. Now, if you go to gutenberg.org, you'll be able to download a free copy of this book. Please read it. It's so interesting. So what did she teach? At the centre of everything that Florence wrote about was the conviction that the spoken word has power. What you voice, you begin to attract. And she taught affirmations as a deliberate, conscious act of directing the energy of your own life. My absolute favourite affirmation goes like this. What I seek now seeks me. It's the most beautiful, simple affirmation, and it places me on the receiving end of whatever it is that I'm seeking. And it makes the assumption that whatever it is that I'm seeking is already seeking me out. It's already looking to connect with me. And I believe it's already arrived. Now, Florence understood that even when you are surrounded by evidence to the contrary, there is a direct path that's prepared for each and every one of us, what Florence called the divine plan of our lives. And that the only true work for each one of us is simply to align with that plan, to follow any inner guidance systems that niggle and nudge at you, and those moments of intuition or aha moments or inspiration or something that kind of nudges and insists that you give it some of your attention. Trust, she says, what she called the hunch. If we find ourselves at a crossroads, all you need to do, Florence said, is step outside the noise and the doubts of the world and listen. Listen to your inner world talking to you instead. Because your inner world is going to guide you to wherever you need to be. Now, I don't know whether Florence was aware of how her husband's feelings had been changing before the divorce was finally requested. What I do know is that when the reality of her situation came, Florence did not, as far as we can tell, get stuck long in asking why it had happened to her, what she could have done differently, or any of the other bargaining that happens in these big life events. She seems to have turned instead towards what she could do with the space that the disruption had created, rather than what she could not do with the space the disruption had created. And that, to me, is where every real story of transformation, it's where the potential always begins. Because whenever it made his decision, and Florence's life as we know it seemed to have come to a grinding halt, all the energy she had been directed into her life with Everett, right? All of that energy that she had now had nowhere to go. So if I had been, for example, Florence's friend in that moment sitting with her, I would have listened to her and let her speak. And then I would have said, I would really, really like to share something with you, Florence. All of that energy you have, Florence, all of that drive, all of that intelligence, all of that capability that you've been pouring into a life with Everett that now seems to have come to an expected end, all of that energy still needs a place to go. So set it free. It wants to carry you on to a place that's much more aligned and with what the universe has for you next. Transformation can be ugly, it can be messy and challenging, and it can feel deeply uncomfortable. I expect Florence must at some stage, like the rest of us, felt any or all of those things. Her transformational time, though, it arrived through the lens of a loss that she didn't choose. And it was in a world that offered her almost no support whatsoever for navigating that loss, even if it wasn't her choice. But the energetic space that opened up, the space that the dismantling of her life created, became the ground from which her most significant life work grew. Think on that. I wonder if this holds a meaning for you right now. It certainly holds a meaning for me, because there are things happening around me that are not my choice, and yet I'm trying to choose the right boomerang. I'm trying to choose to allow space to open up in my life. Can you select the right boomerang? Is there a space opening up in your life? Something that has ended, maybe, or is ending, that you didn't choose or you didn't plan for, something that's left you perhaps standing at your own crossroads without a map to navigate your way forward.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and today we're connecting with Florence Scovell Shinn, a woman who turned a devastating and unwanted loss into the foundation of a life's work that has helped transform the lives of thousands upon thousands of people across more than a century and counting. Don't you think that's extraordinary? Could you believe it's possible that your most significant work is waiting on the other side of your most significant loss? It could be so much easier, couldn't it, if our most significant work arrived in comfortable circumstances, in the middle of a life that was going really well, when we felt fully resourced and fully loved and fully ready and fully supported. And sometimes it does arrive that way. But Florence's story suggests that the dismantling of what was precisely the thing that created the conditions for what was meant to be, you know, the dismantling needed to happen. Otherwise, those conditions could not have been created for her. And all credit to Florence, too, that she chose to embrace the dismantling, to allow it, and then reassemble herself using an almost perfect guidance system that she then felt she wanted to share with other people, too. It did take her, I am sure, the best part of those 13 years for Florence to reconstruct the life that she had lost. But she didn't reconstruct the life that she had with Everett. She moved on, and she moved into a life that was far more aligned with who she truly was and what she was actually here to do. And when something falls apart, you know, your instinct is almost always to try and pull it together and rebuild it and get control as quickly as you possibly can, you know, to restore the very, very familiar status quo, to get back to whatever it felt like when it felt like you were on solid ground. Now, there's no real account that I can find of those 13 years. I don't know whether it took Florence 24 days or 12 years and 11 months in order to find what she was looking for. But Florence didn't seem to grasp at something that had no relevance anymore in her life. She seemed to choose to walk with conviction into the unknown instead. And the unknown turned out to contain everything in abundance for her. Your energy field, it's always seeking balance, always seeking alignment, always orientating towards the fullest expression of whatever you came here to be and to do. And when the structures of your external life are in harmony with that deeper orientation, energy flows abundantly. When they're not, though, when you're living in a shape that belongs to a version of you that has already been outgrown, or a version of you that is somebody else's expectation of you, or it's a shape that simply doesn't really fit you anymore or never did, there is a dissonance that happens in your energy field, and it creates a kind of energetic friction. And that friction, whether it's a gentle rubbing or something that feels like, you know, buttons in a box, right? What do they say? Mad as a box of frogs, right? When there is that kind of friction in your energy field and it builds with considerable force, what happens is inevitably your energy field has to change. Florence's version of life's disruption, for her, I suspect it arrived with force. I don't think she chose it, and she might not even have seen it coming. Imagine that. But her energy field, it was almost like it was primed. It was ready for something new, even if she didn't know it yet. And the life she had been living had run its course, even if she hadn't realised that it had yet. And when it ended, her energy field had the opportunity to reclaim her and to open right up. Now, Neville Goddard, whose work I've spoken about on this show before, he teaches that consciousness is the only reality, that the state you inhabit determines the life you live. Florence, although she worked in her own way, she arrived at a very similar kind of conclusion, that the inner world is your most creative field. What you hold in that inner field of consciousness, what you speak, what you align yourself with conviction and unshakable faith, you know, whatever it is that you maintain, that is where your transformed life must take shape. Florence didn't wait for her outer circumstances to improve before she chose to inhabit a different inner reality. She built the inner world first, and then the outer world was compelled to follow. If there's something in your life right now that's ended, or is in the process of ending, or is in the process of dismantling, it will have created a space for you, and you might not have asked for that space, and you might not quite know what to do with it. So I'd invite you to see that space as the very thing your next chapter required for you to feel empowered and transformed. And what if the energy that is now free because of that dismantling is no longer directed into maintaining something that has run its course? What if it's exactly the energy your most significant self has been waiting for? In a world that had told Florence in almost every practical and legal sense that she was finished, she was in fact just beginning. She was 53 years old when The Game of Life and How to Play It was published, and it's never been out of print since. I wonder if there is something in that book waiting for you. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.